In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth with your spirit and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Father and Terry.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
The Lord be with you. Reading the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. While he was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers appeared outside wishing to speak with him. Someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside asking to speak with you." But he said in reply to the one who told him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
If you don't have a handout, you don't have the Divine Mercy, we're going to follow up on that and pray that Mary will be our spiritual mother as we get close to January 1st, which is Mary, the Mother of God. So we start off the new year honoring Mary as Mother of God, which of all the Marian dogmas, Immaculate Conception, Perpetual Virginity, the Assumption, the Divine Maternity or Mary's Motherhood is the greatest of all her privileges, so we want to start maybe a triduum tonight to prepare for the new year, but also Mary the Mother of God, and it's also the Universal Day of Peace proclaimed by Pope Paul VI a few years back. Okay, we're going at somewhat of a slow pace, but I'm in no hurry. And we've arrived at number 39 in the diary. So if you have your own text, you can read from that. But if you prefer just to take the copy, hand out, and write on it and underline, you're free to do that. I hope today to get through 39 and 40, maybe even 41. But I'd like to probably focus most on number 40, but let's read 39, and I'll give you some ideas on that. Okay. One day Jesus told me that he would cause a chastisement to fall upon the most beautiful city in our country, probably Warsaw. What would happen if Jesus appeared to you and said, "I am going to chastise the most beautiful city in the United States, Hawaiian Gardens"? No? You'd probably be shocked, right?
We'll demonstrate.
Well, that's it's somewhat of a shock because of Poland being one of the most Catholic countries in the world for many years, no? And I don't imagine Poland being worse than other countries, probably better than most countries, because of the history of saints and people practicing their faith in convents of nuns and vocations, and the vocation of John Paul II, vocation of Maximilian Kolbe and St. Faustina. This number always shocks me. No? Now, honestly, bombing New York or L.A., I could understand it. No? Because of the many sins that are committed in even more Las Vegas, right?
Yeah.
I can understand, but Warsaw? But eventually what's going to happen is Hitler is going to destroy Warsaw. The Nazis will do that later on. But in the meantime, we're going to see what's going to happen because of one holy nun. This chastisement would be that with which God had punished Sodom and Gomorrah. Wow. Remember that? Fire and brimstone, huh? Basically, it destroyed all the people that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know the reason for it. Right? If you don't remember, Lot was living on the outskirts of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot, his wife, and he had a few family members. And they were just, but they were living close to Sodom and Gomorrah where there was a practice of homosexuality. So one occasion, Lot, the virtue of hospitality was very important for the Jews. And he received a guest into his house who was an angel. And the angel appeared to be a man, a very attractive man. So some of the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah had found out about this, and they wanted to go in, and they wanted to rape the angel. Pretty ugly, huh? And they knocked at the door, and Lot decided to offer his daughters rather than to violate this guest. And they knocked on the door, and the angel appeared to them and blinded them. And God said to take off because he was going to chastise Sodom and Gomorrah because of the unnatural practices of homosexuality. And if you read through the chapter carefully, Genesis 19, Lot resisted. So the angel had to take Lot by the hand and actually pull him out of his house. And said not to turn around. And guess what happened? He didn't turn around, but who turned around? Mrs. Lot, right? Lotita, okay? Mrs. Lot, okay? If we can give a Spanish translation, okay? Lotita, okay? She turned around. What happened to her? Turned into a pillar of salt, huh? So, and then God sent down fire and brimstone and basically destroyed the two cities. And when they turned around, they could just see the smoke ascending from the ash heap. Still don't fully understand this. It wouldn't seem as if Warsaw had so many sins as Sodom and Gomorrah. So once I get to heaven, I'd like to ask Faustina, our Lord, why he wanted to destroy this city. Okay? Because for me, it's an enigma. But a big city like New York or L.A. or Las Vegas, where you've got tons of sins committed, every hour, But Warsaw back, 75 years ago? It's a mystery. So let's move on. I saw the great wrath of God. Doesn't that make you tremble? The great wrath of God. Just the thought of that makes me tremble. And a shudder pierced my heart. Well, I anticipated what she was about to say. A shudder pierced my heart. What does the word shudder mean? Spanish temblor. Okay? A shudder pierced my heart. So what she does is this. I prayed in silence. What a holy nun, no? There's a problem. Instead of giving in to despair, what does she do? She prays in silence. And I think we should arrive at a point in our life where we're praying constantly. Something happens, instead of complaining or becoming discouraged or giving in despair, pray. We have to arrive at a point, this group of people before my eyes, this very elegant group of people before my eyes, no? This very holy group of people before my eyes, I hope, is we are arriving at a point where we're praying always. Did you ever read Luke chapter 18, verse 1? You know what it is? I'll tell you by heart. Jesus says, it's necessary to pray always without giving up hope. Pretty challenging verse, isn't it? So Jesus is saying that we should arrive at a point where we're praying always. St. Paul says, pray constantly. Constantly means praying always, right? In Psalms, praises, and thanksgiving. I pray in silence. So you can pray in silence, or do you have to be moving your lips? Hello? So you can be praying without moving your lips, right? You're praying in your heart. So even without moving your lips, you can be praying. And hopefully you've arrived at that where sometimes you're just praying with your heart. Your heart is just loving God. But your lips are silent. Okay, so she's praying. After a moment, Jesus said to me. So she's praying. She's praying, what happened? Jesus speaks to her. There's a good connection there, right? She's praying that Jesus speaks to her. Isn't that what prayer is? It's a conversation with Jesus. Okay, now the newcomers here, we have some newcomers. And when you have it in black or italics, that means what? I said Jesus is speaking. Okay? Up to this point in 39, we don't have Jesus. Now Jesus intervenes and he speaks. Let's see what he says. Now, every word of Jesus in the diary are golden nuggets, are diamonds. My child. Does that say anything to you? Okay, Jesus says, unless you become like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You ever hear that? Unless you become like a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, here's I'm going to check your vocabulary. Can any of you tell me the difference between childlikeness and being childish? Or is it the same?
No.
Are they both good?
No.
Okay, who can tell me the difference between childish and being childish and childlike? There's a huge difference. Yes.
Being stupid.
Okay. Okay. Good. You depend.
Yeah, and depends on the parents. That's
right. Good.
Okay.
Childish basically means immaturity. Okay, that's probably the best word. Immaturity. Like my confirmation students on Thursday. Okay. I've got a group of. And the best way to explain them, they are goofy. Sonsa in Spanish, okay? Okay, so childish, it's a defect. It's immaturity. Well, childlike means this. Innocence, and as you were saying, trust, dependence on God. And Jesus wants us to be a childlike. And one of the best examples is the little flower, St. Therese, called spiritual infancy. Think about a year ago, I was talking to you about one of the greatest writers, theologians last century, and his name was Garrigou Lagrange. Have you ever heard of him? Have you? Garrigou Lagrange, I mentioned him maybe 2 years ago. He taught where I studied, where your son is now in the Angelicum. And he taught John Paul II. He was the greatest Thomist, that means expert in Thomas Aquinas, in the world. He wrote The Three Ages of the Interior Life, wrote on the priesthood. And what I remember once just studying him in my free time, and he said this. In the normal evolution or progression in the human person, eventually the child, the teenager, the young adult leaves the house, right? Like a bird is eventually going to have to leave the nest, right? Whereas in the spiritual life, it's the exact opposite. The closer you get to God, the more you recognize your dependence on God. You hear that? And when I first read that, I didn't understand. Now I understand it very, very clearly. In my own personal life, I understand that. So that's what childlikeness means. It's you said it pretty well. Your dependence. You recognize your dependence on God. So I hope we have a lot of childlike people here, but very few childish people here. Okay. Last thing we want Friday night are childish adults, huh? Mm-hmm. My child, unite yourself closely to me during the sacrifice. What's a sacrifice? What is it? Did you know at any moment you can unite yourself with a sacrifice? Because in some part of the world, there's always going to be a mass going on. Did you know that? So you can always do that. You can say, Lord, wherever there's a mass going on right now, I'd like to unite myself with that mass. And the Lord, you're very pleased with that. What I do in my holy hour in the morning is more than an hour. What I do, it's all in function of preparing myself for the Mass. Or today I had two Masses. Concelebrate with Father Craig and a Mass at 4 o'clock today. I was quiet, kind of receding in the background, but I had a lot of intentions. I'm glad, okay, he did the Mass, but that altar is going to break down. And I felt so happy I had my own intentions. And I was just loading that altar with intention. And that Mass, I don't get angry at me, but I offer that for myself. Why not? Now I offered it in reparation for all of my sins in the year 2016, and thanking God for all the good that He allowed me to do in 2016. And then I asked Him to bless 2017 and prevent a lot of sins for 2017. That I offered for myself. Was I selfish? We have to pray for ourselves too, right? That's the first person we have to pray for. And that's not being selfish, but that's being humble, because we recognize that we are weak. But I apply the holy sacrifice of the Mass to myself. There's power there. And they said it once, they'll say it a million times, we do not take advantage of the graces that come from even one Mass. So that could be a New Year's proposal, that you are going to take Mass more seriously. Amen? Don't take Mass for granted. Take Mass very seriously. Because that's the greatest act. The greatest act in the world is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. I'm not worthy to celebrate it. But I'm qualified because I've got holy orders, no? Not worthy. But I'm qualified because I've got holy orders. I have an indelible mark on my soul. It's called an ontological change if you want to be theological. But what a great grace it is to be able to go to daily Mass. Some of you go to daily Mass. Is that true? Maybe you fall asleep during the Mass, but you really shouldn't, okay? You should really, really take advantage of the Mass that we have offered for you every day. Prepare yourself better. Right, Fran? Si, Padre. Okay. I'm glad you agree. During the sacrifice and offer my blood and my wounds. Blood and my wounds. Look up at the Divine Mercy image. You can see it? Look up at the cross. What do you see? Do you see blood there? What's coming out? What are those rays? What are the red rays?
Blood.
Right? Do you see wounds? How about, are there wounds there? There are five wounds. Two in his hands, two in his feet. One is open side. So of everything that Jesus could have said to St. Faustina, Jesus said that. So that's very important. He's pointing to himself, but himself present when the priest is consecrating the host. Because the priest consecrates the host, that's happening. Now, offer my blood, my wounds, to who? To my Father. Interesting. See how Jesus never separates himself from God the Father. In expiation. There's a big word for you, Melissa. What does that mean? Another word would be for atonement, okay? Expiation. Or I'll give you some synonyms. Not cinnamon, but synonyms, okay? I'm a walking Roger Thesaurus, okay? Atonement, expiation, reparation are more or less the same. Okay? There's a slight nuance, there's a difference, but it's more in the same ballpark, okay? Okay, so there are a lot of sins, so they have to be repaired. What is the best reparation? Now listen to this. All the prayers, all the fastings, all the sacrifices that all the holiest people in the world could offer is not equal to one holy Mass. Eric, you read my mind. It's true, isn't it? So all the sacrifices of the greatest saints are not equal to one Mass offered. See how much we have to go deeper into this reality? And that's the reason why Padre Pio would be lifting up the host and be in ecstasy for, what, 2 or 3 hours. And the superior told him, hey, look, you got to finish the Mass in a half an hour because the farmers had to get out there and they got to work the fields, no? Let that happen, no? And he obeyed, no? But he would go in ecstasy for hours, no? Poor farmers, no? I mean, they were impressed, no? But the fields were waiting for him, right? Okay, to my Father in expiation, for what? Have you ever done that in reparation for the sins of the city of L.A.? No, Father. Ever done it in reparation for the sins of Hawaiian Guards? No, Father. How about reparation for the sins of your family members? Okay, well, 1 out of 3 is pretty good. But we should be offering reparation also for our town, our county, our city. How about for the whole country? Good. And then Jesus goes on to say, repeat this, what does he say? Without interruption. Throughout the entire Holy Mass. It's interesting, isn't it? Because she's not at the Mass, but there's a Mass going on. So what he wants her to do is to unite herself with the Mass that's going on, maybe in the convent, maybe outside the convent. However, he wants her to repeat that. And what would be a good prayer? Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, an atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. And implied in that would be his blood and his wounds. Well, you got the blood, but his wounds are implied in that. You know what prayer I've fallen in love with is the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. I don't think I ever get tired of praying that. Jesus says to her to pray it as much as she can, not just at 3 o'clock, any time. And you can say it in 5 minutes, 5-6 minutes, it can be said, right? Very pleasing prayer to God. So get in the habit of praying that, getting people to pray it. Maybe in your family. Spanish they call it el rosario pequeño, okay? The little rosary, right? But sometimes they'll ask me, Father, what should we pray? The chaplet or the rosary? And they always say, pray both, right? It's only 20 minutes. Okay, then he says, do this for 7 days. That I don't fully understand. I would have thought that Jesus would have said, do it for 9 days. There's another mystery. Why? Because usually Jesus would invite her to do a novena, right? Jesus said, but if Jesus says 7 days, that's good enough for me, right? It's a week, yeah. It is a number of perfection, yes. As well as 3. There are certain numbers of perfection, yeah. Good, good, good interpretation, yeah. Okay, then, on the 7th day, I saw Jesus in a bright cloud. What would that be? I think that would be heaven, right? And began to beg him to look upon the city and upon our whole country. Jesus looked down graciously. Look at the contrast. We've got the great wrath of God a few sentences before, right? And God's anger. Now we've got Jesus looking down graciously. What brought about the change? I'm playing charades, okay? Ever play charades? So it was the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the wounds, and his blood that she offered over and over again that changed Jesus totally. So can we change God's heart? Yes, we can. Can we change God's mind? Yes, we can. We can change God's mind. It's very interesting, isn't it? So God's will can be conditioned upon our praying fervently. That's one person, but here we got at least 100 people. What happened if your 100 people have the same holiness of St. Faustina? Convert New York, LA, and Manila. Huh? Maybe even Cebu, huh? You know, this is one person. Why don't you pray that you have the same holiness as St. Faustina, even go beyond it. Pray for that. That's not pride. Pray with bold confidence. I mean, it's not pride, but we can pray that we can become great saints, right? Or does God want us to be mediocre? Do you want to be mediocre? I hope not. I pray that we become great saints. Now's the time. We're going through tough times, right? What does your friend Charles Dickens say? The worst of times can be the best of times if we're walking with the Lord. Let's move on. So Jesus, in a bright cloud, Jesus looked on graciously when I saw the kindness of Jesus. What do you prefer? You're doing your meditation in the morning, you see the kindness of Jesus or the wrath of Jesus? Hello? I prefer the kindness rather than the wrath, right? But here instead of the wrath we have his kindness. I like that. Kindness of Jesus. I began to beg his blessing. There's a lot in that. Have you ever asked for the blessing of Jesus? No? Ask Jesus to bless your family. Every night. Ask Jesus to bless the family of St. Peter Chanel every day. Ask Jesus to bless your confirmation students. And my goofy ones too, okay? The goofies. I call them the goofies, okay? Ask God to bless those who are doing the exercise. There's about 200. Let's pray that they end well. There's so many people that we should ask for God's blessing. And ask God to bless Joe Escalante that just arrived. Amen. Okay. Yes, his older sisters are waving at him. You have to buy him a watch at 99 cents. No? Mm-hmm. He definitely had a good reason for coming late. Mm-hmm. So we ask God's blessing upon us. What's the opposite of a blessing? Probably know it. About 5 months ago, Gabriel D'Amorth, the chief exorcist of Rome, passed away. Good man. Died in the 60s. 62 years a priest. Same number of years my parents were married. Mnemonic device, I got that connection. But you know, he said one of the reasons by which someone could be possessed by a devil? Did you read the book, The Exorcist? He said, one, it could be a trial from God, like the Ursuline nuns. Second, would be playing with the occult, as we see in the film, The Exorcist. They're playing with the Ouija board. But the third, I remember reading this, it kind of shocked me, when parents curse their children. So mother or father curses her son or daughter. That's a means by which the devil... Did any of you go to Mass today? First reading is beautiful, isn't it? Or Sirach, where those children who love their parents will be blessed. They'll have a long life in a land of living. Beautiful reading. And I think parents should read that with their children every Sunday after Mass, when they're having their meals, huh? One occasion, the mother came, brought in two rebellious teenage daughters. And I opened up that and I read that. You could see their heads. Because it's so clear, no? It's one of the clearest texts in the Bible where the children, if they obey their parents, they will be blessed, both father and mother. So the opposite of a blessing is a curse. We should always try to bless everyone. Amen? Our presence should always be a blessing on everyone in all times, in all places. Amen? I remember watching a Spanish Mass about maybe 20 years ago. For some reason, I forgot to give the final blessing. I never had so much reaction among the people in my life. No? Father, you didn't give us the blessing, no? Well, it's a good sign. They want the blessing, no? But half of them didn't even receive Holy Communion, no? See, they put the sacramental above the sacrament, which is kind of sad, huh? A blessing, what is it? It's a sacramental, right? But the Eucharist is a sacrament. Light years difference. Blessings are fine. But receiving the sacraments is a million times more important. Amen, huh? I began to beg his blessing. One other point. You see the Divine Mercy image there? Can you see it?
Yes.
Well, you can see one of the hands of Jesus is raised in the form of what?
A blessing.
What?
Blessing.
Okay, so any of you who have the Divine Mercy image in your home, in a prominent place, not underneath your bed, but in a prominent place, he will bless your home. And that means he'll bless anyone who enters your home. Even the Jehovah Witnesses. Even the Mormons, okay? Even your angry mother-in-law, okay? God will bless. He promises. But you have to place it in a prominent place. I mean, place in a very special place. Those who enter will be blessed. It's a beautiful promise, isn't it? I have one in my room. That means when I enter my room, Jesus is going to bless me. Amen? That includes us too, right? Every time we come in, hey, hi Jesus, thank you for the blessing. No? God bless you. Beautiful. There's so much riches we have in studying this document, isn't there? I began to beg his blessing immediately. What does that mean? Spanish, ahorita. Jesus said, so it's interesting, Jesus is very attentive to St. Faustina. Very attentive to you. If you stop yawning when you're praying, okay? Try to be attentive to him. And he'll be attentive to you. And he says, for your sake, I bless the entire country. Wow. You could spend a whole day meditating upon this one number. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Does that do anything to you?
Yes.
For your sake, this is one person, for your sake, I bless the entire country. That's mind-boggling. So if you have the holiness of St. Faustina, her prayerfulness, her humility, her burning love, her purity, her charity, all those important virtues that are burning in your heart, your prayer could bless the whole country. No, we're going through tough times. But I honestly, not because I'm an American, I am an American, and most of you are American citizens too, but I really believe if we can really pray that this country to be converted, many other countries in the world can be converted because they look up to us as a model. I'm proud to be American. I don't know about you. I am. But also I'm sad to be an American because there are many things that have to be changed. Abortion, same-sex marriages. Let's pray that our country will go through a radical conversion. Because they're looking up to us. Our Lady of the Americas calls for purity and for families, right? An approved apparition. So I think we have to, there's a lot of negativism out there, but I think that there's a lot of potentiality in this country. The infrastructure, the technology, the universities, the gymnasiums, the parks, the fields, even the beauty of nature, this country is incredible. That's why you people came here from other countries, right? The resources. So on a natural human level, this country has more than any other country in the world by far. Only we can use it for the honor and glory of God. Amen? If we'd only use it for the honor and glory of God, this country could have could emanate so many blessings on the whole world. But obviously, it has to go through a conversion. And starting with the conversion of our own hearts. Start right here. Then maybe in your families. And in the parish. There'll be a conversion. And allow the conversion to radiate throughout the whole country. But this is one person. This is a challenge for me to really want to become a great saint. You too. And you too. You too, Grace. A challenge for us to want to be like a modern Saint Faustina. I'm reading your mind. You look like you. I can't do that. I'm not called to that. Don't say that. I will fiercely rebuke you. Okay. You can. Because you're limiting the grace of God. I can't. I was born in 1953. That was a bad year. I can't. I live in Los Angeles. No. No, even if you live a terrible life up to this point, starting right now, you can still become a great saint. We're going to be reading this. We'll be reading that later on. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Even if, maybe you lived a terrible life up to now, if you really want to leave it behind, you love Jesus Christ totally, right now. I did that to wake up Fran, okay? Fran a little bit tired, okay? Fran, did that wake you up? Right now. Not mañana, right now. For your sake, I bless the entire country. And he made a big sign of the cross over our country. I invite all of you tonight to pray that Jesus will make a big sign of the cross over the United States. Can you do that?
Yes.
Let's do it. Let's pray that this country, God will take this country converted and use this country to be a means to bring other countries closer to Christ. Then, she says, seeing the goodness of God, Father Len Terry, our founder, says we should always try to promote the goodness of God. God is good. He's the essence of goodness. God is good. Never present God as a mean God, as a vindictive God. Any of you ever hear of the Protestant preacher Jonathan Edwards? Any of you? He was a fire and brimstone preacher, and he presented God as a mean God in which there was a pit of fire and you were like a spider hanging from a little web, and as soon as you make one mistake, it's Jonathan Edwards, yeah. A vindictive God. There you're hanging over that pit of fire. With that little ELO, they say in Spanish, no? Little thread. And as soon as you make a mistake, you'll be surprised. Jonathan Edwards and Fire and Brimstone preachers preached that for many years. No? I mean, hell exists. But we believe in God's mercy, right? We believe in His mercy. So I don't know about you people, but every number in this diary is just so rich. Can we start number 40? Can we? I have your permission? Thank you. Whether or not I got your permission or not, I was going to start anyway. Okay, the year 1929. My father was 1 year old. He's one. My maternal grandmother was 31. Okay? So really not that far away. Okay, once during Holy Mass, often Jesus communicates to her during Holy Mass. I felt in a very special way the closeness of God. Okay, do you feel the closeness of God? Let me ask you, when? When you make your holy hour?
Yes.
When you pray your rosary?
Yes.
When you're at Mass?
Yes.
And of course, when you're at perseverance class. Yes! I hope so. Where two or more gathered, I'm in your midst, right? So you might even get prayer over that. When is it you feel the closeness of God most? That's a good Ignatian question, right? St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, when she was washing the pots and pans, you read that, she was doing her duty, right? Or when is it you really feel that God is not present, that God is distant? You might even ask the opposite question. And then he says, although I tried to turn away and escape from him. Have you ever done that? Be honest.
Yes.
Sometimes God pursues us and we want to kind of turn a corner and escape him. I'll tell you the reason why. Can I?
Yes.
Because we know he's going to be asking us to do something that we don't want to do, right? In other words, he's inviting us to and we say
no.
Give it to Joe. Give it to Grace. She's looking for a cross. Give it to her. But it's true. Everything that happens to her, I think we can identify with in our own lives. God is challenging us to do something that we don't want to do, we don't want to give up. Okay? And on several occasions, I have run away from God because I did not want to be a victim of the evil spirit. And that's a little bit more difficult to understand. But I'll explain it. Okay, she does not as of yet have proper... she doesn't as of yet have a good spiritual director. She's going to get one. She'll have Father Andrash and Father Sapochko too. Especially Father Sapochko. So she's having these locutions and visions. Locutions would be, I've already taught you about that, right? Interior movements and sometimes voices. And sometimes visions. And she's thinking, well, maybe this doesn't come from God. Because the evil spirit exists too. So she purposely is trying to quell this or trying to squash this or trying to ignore it. Because she doesn't want to be deceived by the enemy. Which is somewhat Ignatian, but also you have to have the proper spiritual direction to be able to discern between the good spirit and the evil spirit. To sift the wheat from the chaff, to use a biblical image. Since others have told me, more than once, that such is the case. So she talked with other nuns and other people say, you know, when you have these things, he probably said to her this, you know, you're so unholy, you're not a saint, this could never be coming from God. And you're not a saint. They think that she's Nadia, no one, okay? So they're not inspiration, they're temptation from the enemy, just ignore them. And this incertitude lasted for quite some time. Do you think that caused suffering? Incertitude can be a mental torture when you're living in limbo. You're living in no man's land. Okay, during Holy Mass, before communion, we had the renewal of vows. What does that mean? Any nuns here? Any religious here? What are vows? They're solemn promises made before God in the context of the religious life, often in the context of the Mass. How many vows are there?
Three.
Can you mention them?
Poverty.
Okay, good. Okay, most religious orders or congregations have three vows. Poverty, chastity, and obedience. Sometimes there's a fourth vow. Can any of you mention any congregation or order that has a fourth vow? We do not, Angie, no. Jesuits. What's the fourth vow? Okay, obedience to the Pope is the fourth vow. Any other? What's that? Okay, what is their vow? Okay, Fran? Okay, serving the poorest of the poor. Not just the poor, but the poorest of the poor. Talk I gave a year ago. Let's check your memory. There's a church there in Norwalk called St. John of God. Did he found an order? Or a congregation? Say yes, Father.
Yes.
Okay, he founded the Fatti Bene Fratelli in Italian. The Do Good Brothers. And I was working with them once. I was a deacon in a hospital there across the Trastevere. And they were just brothers. And they were the kindest brothers I ever met in my life. They were so, I was a deacon, I was not even a priest. They were so kind, accommodating, gentle, meek, hospitable. And after I dealt with them, I said, you guys are really kind, you're hospitable. And one of them said to me, we better be, it's our fourth vow. So their fourth vow was hospitality. It's a fourth vow. And they really treated, I went in there with about four or five deacons to help them out. And they were so hospitable. So, the vows are promises. Vows can be temporary, or they can be, what's the other word? Final vows. So temporary means you renew it. For us it was 3 years. For St. Faustine it's going to be more than 3 years. And after the third, you have perpetual vows. And if you're a priest, often you're ordained a deacon after that, and then within 6 months to a year, you're ordained to the priesthood. It's beautiful for me, being a religious, I can understand her because I'm a religious, a diocesan priest. This is going to be, some of this is going to be a novelty because there's a big difference between a diocesan priest and a religious priest. And I think most of you know the fundamental differences, right? Hello? Okay. One would be the charism, okay? Vows, communion of life, having superiors, having constitutions, having rules. What's that?
Community
life, no? I'm doing a study on St. Augustine, who's going to eventually found the Franciscans, right? Who? Oh, the Augustinians, okay? So I want to see whether or not you're awake, okay? Religious life. Okay, so it's in the context of the renewal of vows. When he left our kneelers, when we had left our kneelers, and had started to recite the formula for the vows, Jesus appeared suddenly at my side. So what do we have? We got Jesus, the locutions. What's that? Speaking interiorly. And Jesus appearing at my side, what's that? It's a vision or an apparition, right? Jesus communicating through visions and locutions. How about you? Neither, Father. Okay, well, you should have locutions by now. You should be having locutions where God speaks to you in a very gentle way, and you hear His voice. By now, if you've done the exercise, you're with me for several years, that should be happening. That's the normal evolution of the spiritual life. That should be happening. But you have to be silent to be able to listen and to respond to those. So at my side, clad in a white garment. Why white? There you have it. With a golden girdle around his waist. And he said to me, I give you eternal love. What does that mean? There's a lot in that. What does eternal mean? What does love mean? It's a good word, isn't it? For I asked all of you to write a 3-page essay upon that, we'd probably get 100 different essays. I think so. But love for Jesus, it's a total self-giving in which he's not expecting anything in return. A total self-giving in which he's not expecting anything in return. Probably the best word for it would be sacrifice. I give you eternal love that your purity may be untarnished. That's enormous, isn't it? Is that easy today? Very difficult, no? You know what happened about 3 weeks ago? We had the Feast Day of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and before that we had the Immaculate Conception. You know what we did the evening of the Immaculate Conception here in the parish? We got some confirmation students here, teachers, right? Don't you remember? We consecrated our young people to the Immaculate Conception by giving them a ring. What's that? Is that a good idea?
Yes.
No, it's not a good idea. It's a great idea.
Yes.
Why? That they'll be able to live what we're preaching now, okay? Is it easy for young people? Is it impossible?
No.
Everything is possible with God. But that exterior sign of the miraculous medal, or the Medal of St. Benedict, or a cross, are all of them going to maintain their promise? Probably not. Will some of them? I hope. Will some of them, maybe because of that mass and because of that exterior symbol? I think so. If they're tempted to give in to their passions or their peer pressure, maybe they'll remember, well, that was a very important day. I went to Mass, I went to confession, I went to communion, I got the, still have the ring on. I'm not going to allow this person to utilize me. And that was my homily this morning, one of my points. You went to the 8 o'clock Mass, in which I really believe all the young people in all the parishes of the country should have that for the young people. Amen? Formal ceremony in which they're putting that ring on, they understand the meaning of it, they understand the temptations that they have to confront, they got that sign. And as a sign that you'll never be subject to temptations against purity. That's huge, isn't it? No longer any bad thoughts or movements of the flesh, and an extraordinary grace. Who else received that grace after overcoming a temptation? Thomas Aquinas. Who? Do you remember the temptation? Is that his... He was actually kidnapped by his family members, and he was in this like tower or building, and they wanted to prove to him that he didn't have vocation. And it was a cold night; there was a fire there, and they pushed a street woman in to tempt him. Know what he did? He got the poker, which is red hot, and went right at her face and said, if you don't get out of here, you're going to be branded. Really? And she took off, and in that moment he had this, basically the same gift as St. Faustina, right there. And I thought about that many times. Why? Why did Thomas Aquinas have to have that? His mind had to be absolutely pure to receive so many inspirations to write the Summa Theologica, the Summa Contra Gentiles. the greatest theologian in the Catholic Church, the greatest theologian in the world for that matter. But he had to have that absolute purity of mind, of eyes, of heart, of body, of intention, to be able to absorb from the Holy Spirit so many wonderful lights, and to write, and to communicate the greatest theology you have in the world. He only died at 46. He wasn't that old when he died. Also, Anthony Mary Claret, same thing. He had overcome temptation, and God gave him that great grace also. We could pray for it. Why not? We're getting close to the year of Our Lady Fatima, right? It's a beautiful number. And then, look what happens. Jesus took off his golden cincture and tied it around my waist. Wow. Try to imagine that. Jesus is white, he takes off the cincture, and he wraps it around the waist of St. Faustina. Ask Jesus to do that for you tonight, or tomorrow in your meditation. Why not ask for it? No, I can't do that. Why not? Ask and you receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. We can ask for the same grace that we're meditating upon this very night. And ask that for your young people, for your teenagers, for your confirmation students. I'll ask it for my goofy ones too. Remember the goofies. Pray for the goofies tonight, okay? Tied around my waist. And then look, since then, I've never experienced any attacks against this virtue, either in heart or in mind. Incredible. Did you hear that? She no longer had any bad thoughts. Nor any bad feelings in her heart. That seems to be impossible, doesn't it? Some of you are saying, I can't go through an hour without having negative thoughts. Hmm? Or even a half hour, huh? So the rest of her life, until she's going to die at 33 years old, no negative impure thoughts, nor any that concupiscence, so to speak, of impure feelings. We haven't finished. We're going to see one of the reasons why she received this grace. And I love it because it's related to the Blessed Mother. Amen, huh? Are you reading with me? I later understood that this was one of the greatest graces which the Most Holy Virgin Mary had obtained for me. As for, what did I say? Many years I had been asking this grace of her. That's huge. See the patience in prayer? So this didn't happen overnight. She was asking for this grace even before she entered in the convent. You can enter in the convent when she's about 20, so probably the time she's 14 or 15, she's already asking for this grace. That says a lot, is that we have to be patient in our begging for graces. And we have to be beggars. You ever meet a very insistent beggar on the street? They can be pretty insistent, right? They're not going to give up, no? Especially the gypsies that are coming about every month, they are so insistent. They'll go around the other side of the building, then go in the front, and then they'll go around the back. I mean, they're pretty sharp, no? We got to be like the gypsies, okay? Those gitanos, or zingari, as they say in Italian. Had obtained for me, as for many years, I've been asking this grace of her. Since that time, I've experienced an increasing devotion to the Mother of God. Ah, that's beautiful, isn't it? Do you like that? I don't like it. I love it. She has taught me how to love God interiorly. Beg for that grace. And also how to carry out His holy will in all things. Amen? Amen. O Mary, you are joy, because through you God descended to earth and into my heart. Amen. Isn't this beautiful? Every number is a treasure. So let's pray for the grace to be able to maybe that can be your meditation tomorrow. Really meditate upon these and beg for these special treasures. Today's Holy Family. Tomorrow evening will be the vigil of New Year's, which is Mary, Mother of God. So let's ask Mary for many of these graces that we learned tonight. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. The Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. See you next year. Is that true?